God becomes your Father the moment Jesus becomes your Savior. He is your elder brother and God is your Father. We've been talking about that this month, that you can call God your Father. In fact, Jesus is the one that taught us to do that. In the Sermon on the Mount, we find the Lord's Prayer and these words beginning it, "Our Father, which art in heaven." But being a father is so much more than just protecting. God does protect. We saw that last week. 2 weeks ago, we noticed that God provides for our needs. And as a father, He is a great provider. But so far, we've really just considered what we might consider the obligatory duties of parenthood. We expect dads to provide, and we expect dads to protect. That's what they do. But your Heavenly Father is so much more than that. He genuinely dotes on His kids and provides for their welfare. In fact, the title of the message today is this, that He is the rewarder of my wants. That just almost sounds a little bit too bold to say, maybe audacious. But I believe that Jesus actually does point us in this direction, that we have a Father who wants to hear about our wants and cares to take care of our wants, that He is actually determined, our Father is determined to do good to us all of our days. I'm a father, and I'm happy to be one. 5 kids. And when I'm away, I'm often thinking about, away from my family, I'm thinking about them. This happened a couple of years ago. I was in Myanmar for a missions trip, and I enjoyed my week there and opportunities to preach and see what God was doing in a foreign land, which still at the time was largely closed to missionaries. The crack of the door is just starting to open in Myanmar. But while I was there for just over a week, and I was thinking about my kids, and at that time, I didn't have FaceTime, and I hadn't figured out Messenger yet, and I couldn't see them or talk with them by a phone line. I traded a couple emails all week, was what I was able to do. And that was about the longest separation I had. But while I was there, I was thinking about them. And one morning, before we left to come back to the States, we were given some time to shop in a local mall in Myanmar. And I went around, and it was a large indoor room, you know, like 10 times larger than this room. And it had all these little vendors set up for sale inside. So not independent stores, but more like this, just an open plaza with all these vendors set up. And so I went around, and I ended up finding a T-shirt for each of my kids. It said Myanmar on it, and it was each in their favorite colors. In fact, you're going to see that pictured coming up right now. So they have since outgrown those T-shirts just in a couple years, as kids do. But as soon as I got off the airplane after flying for almost 24 hours to get from Myanmar, what, 4 legs of a flight to get back to the States. Some of you have done international travel. I mean, before I did anything else, I opened up that suitcase and I brought out all the little tokens of my love and how I missed them. And I shared, and I got something for my wife too. I didn't ask her to wear it today, and but it really doesn't, you know, fit the point of the message today has to do with fathers and how good fathers are to us. But I also got her a wraparound skirt. She's worn it several times to our church services as well. So each of them got a gift. And I didn't mind doing that. I wanted to do that because I wanted to show them how much I love them and how much I miss them. And I believe that Jesus wants you to think of your Father in heaven the same way. He wants you to understand that He is interested in giving good gifts to His kids. We see this in Matthew chapter 7. I've been here a couple times now in our series on fatherhood because Jesus speaks of God as His Father, and He does so here in our text. Matthew chapter 7, I'm just going to call your attention to verse 11 to start with. "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him?" So we can assume, rightly assume, that God is interested in giving His sons and His daughters good gifts because any father I know is like that. Not all fathers are like that, but most earthly fathers are like that, want to give good gifts to their kids, and you are to think of your heavenly Father that way. But the Bible also teaches that God does something more. That he isn't just interested in just giving you good gifts, but he actually wants to reward you when you ask for anything. We get this from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. I asked you to keep a finger in Hebrews 11, so I'm going to ask you to look at that verse now, verse number 6. You might have it memorized, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Today I'd like to give you three reasons why you can expect the Father to do you good or to reward you. And I want you to get this point. You can call him Father because he is determined to do good to you all of your days. Let me go through this and break it down in the following fashion. I'd like to give you the invitation. The invitation. Let's start with Jesus' invitation to the Father. And it's right here in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 7. Jesus tells us, or gives us the Father's invitation in this passage. Verse number 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Verse 8. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Jesus almost seems to dare us here. Just go ahead and ask. Just go ahead and seek. Just go ahead and knock and just see if it doesn't happen. It's almost a dare. I kind of feel a little bit awkward saying Jesus is daring you, but I mean, really, just ask him and just see if the Father doesn't come through for you. And more specifically, these verbs are in the present tense in the original, which has the progressive idea in English, which means it's ongoing. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, and just see if the Father doesn't give you what you seek. Maybe a parable will help this. Jesus taught in Luke chapter 11 the parable of the persistent friend. Do you remember this parable? So this guy, the neighbor, has a friend come over, a visitor, and it's after dark. Suddenly he needs to put something on the table for his unexpected guest. That isn't, you know, in our culture, we just say, go down to Taco Bell or McDonald's and get yourself something after these late hours. But in that day, that wasn't available, so you had to feed your guest whenever he showed up. He's out of bread. So he goes to his neighbor, and he knocks on his friend's door, and he says, please, let's make this disappear, the scripture. Thanks. So he knocks on this door, and he says, listen, I've got a friend. He's just arrived. I need some bread. And the neighbor is sitting inside. But, you know, it's after dark. I already got my kids down. If I get out of bed, I'm going to wake them all up. Going to disrupt my house. Go away. But because of the importunity, the scripture says, of this friend, importunity meaning this unashamed persistence. He isn't going to go away until he gets his what? He's not going to go away until he gets what he wants, until he gets his bread. So he keeps knocking. And finally the guy's like, okay, all right. You already woke up the house anyway. I'm going to go to my cupboards and gives him the three loaves of bread that the guy needs. And this is what Jesus wants to teach you about this persistent friend. All right? It has to do not with so much what you're supposed to do with your neighbor, but how you're supposed to treat God, your Father. Jesus says in verse number 8 of Luke 11, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity or unashamed, brash persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. So Jesus invites you to just to be that bold, to knock on the door of your heavenly Father until he gives the thing that you seek. Hey, if a friend would rise and do that for you in a desperate situation, don't you think that your heavenly Father is going to jump out of bed? Pardon the expression, he's not in bed, my Father doesn't slumber or sleep, but he's going to jump the moment I need him to meet my need. I am supposed to think of my Father that way. That is the invitation, though it seems bold and daring, I can be that bold with God. Sure, we can ask the Father then to give us our daily bread. He is the provider. Sure, we can ask God to protect us from the enemy. He is my protector. But we can also ask him for the things that we want and desire and have an interest in. And the psalmist repeatedly reminds us that God is the one who cares about the things that I desire. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 37 and verse number 4. So this is the truth about God. What will you do with his invitation? Will you ask? Will you seek the Father until he rewards you? I know my kids would. You know how the kids work. You know how they work you over. Sometimes they're just plain shameless in the way they ask. If they can't get ice cream out of you one way, they'll wait for a couple minutes till they can figure up another plan and another argument to get it out of you. You know how it is, right? So, no, we're not getting ice cream today. We already had a treat today, or we already did this, and so we'll just have to do it another time. Then they remind you of something you said 6 months ago. You said 6 months ago, you know, they don't know when you said it. They just know you said it at some point. Whenever we're on this side of town again, you would stop at our favorite little ice creamery. What? You know, and you don't have any recollection, and they'll rake you over a barrel and assure you that you promised that. There is no shame in being a kid. They keep asking until they get what they want. And I believe that God wants you to think that way when it comes to your relationship with your father. You just shamelessly, and that's what the friend was at the door. He's shamelessly knocking and knocking until the man gets out of bed and gives him his bread. And so God wants you to shamelessly go to your father and knock until you get what you're asking for. Hey, do you have anything in your life like that? I have a couple things like that. And I keep every day, God, this is just you and me. You remember Mike? He's down here in Tucson. And he needs something. And I've been asking you about this for a while. And you just keep going. And you keep going. And you keep going. Anticipating the day when your father's going to open up the door and hand you the thing you've been asking for. Jesus does give us permission to be just this shameless when it comes to our asking of the Father. That's the invitation. What a wide open invitation. No limitations here. Just ask and he receives. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open for you. Some of you are just a little bit hesitant. I think Bill Daugherty, if he were here. I know Bill. He's been part of our church since I've been here. He'd be like, some of you are thinking the same thing the way Bill would be thinking. But there are conditions on that invitation, right? You can't just ask whatever you want. You can't just knock for whatever you want, because there are all these conditions. In fact, one of my friends on the shelf this week said, of course, these unqualified promises have or are subject to conditions. Now, isn't that what we've always been taught? God doesn't always give us what we ask for because they're conditions. Well, let's consider conditions. Are these conditions limitations on the invitation to ask him for whatever? So this second point's a little troubling. I want you to be a little troubled or disturbed right now, all right? Is it okay just to ask my father for whatever I want? I mean, ice cream, you know, the works, for a spouse if I'm not married, for a better job if I don't. Is it okay just to ask him for whatever is on my mind, all right? Is it okay? Or are there conditions? All right, let's talk about conditions, all right? Here we go. Let's look at Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. All right? Great promise. He's a rewarder, hence the title of the message, the rewarder of my wants if I diligently seek him. But there's some conditions kind of inherent in this anticipation that he's my rewarder. Let's start with the front end of the verse. If I ask with faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. You know, the word is impossible. It means you cannot please God unless you have faith. It doesn't say it's difficult to please God if you don't have faith. He says it's impossible. If I don't have faith, I cannot please God. So, I mean, that's the first condition. If I'm going to ask and if I'm going to seek and I'm going to knock to get what I want, then I've got to have a lot of faith. You get that? That's the way some people take that. And you know, the rest of the New Testament seems to echo that. Here's what Jesus said in the Gospel of Mark. One more click. There we go. Mark 11, verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, what's it say? Believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. So maybe it's up to me. Maybe the reason I keep knocking and not getting anything is I don't have enough faith. Do you feel that way sometimes? Is it up to us to have adequate faith to receive more from the Father? I want you to think about this. Is faith the open sesame with God? If I just have faith, boy, then the door opens up and I get what I want. Well, I think actually we might be misplaced to think that way. Faith is important. The Bible says it is. But sometimes I think as Christians we get so hung up on the faith thing, focused on whether I have faith, and we're not focusing on the Father. So the point of what I'm trying to get at is maybe it's not whether you have enough faith, but maybe in the asking there is the faith. I need to check my notes to make this clear. When kids want something, they find dad or mom and they just ask. They don't always ask the right way. They often don't ask at the right time. But they ask. But in the asking, they are demonstrating something. They are demonstrating that they believe that dad or mom can give them what they want. They are focused on the resources of the parent, not on their ability to ask in the right way or to have enough faith. They just ask, and because they're believing in the resources of the parent, they ask. So in the asking is the faith. Now, I'm not saying that some people can't have more faith than others, but if you're asking God to give you something you can't get on your own or don't believe will happen on your own, then you are demonstrating faith just in the asking. Are you okay with that? You are demonstrating faith if you ask. Jerry Bridges said, you know, prayer is the most tangible expression of dependence upon God. When I pray, I am demonstrating I believe and have faith. Now, some people might have more faith than others, but if you're asking, you do possess faith because you're believing the resources of your Father can do something about it. So in the asking is the faith. Why is that important? Because we get all hung up. I don't know if I have enough faith. Maybe I just need to kind of grunt a little bit harder or pray a little bit longer. But in the asking is the faith. Here's another thing. Conditions that we get hung up on. Ask with faith and then ask with diligence. Verse number 6 of Hebrews chapter 11 says, what does it say? And he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Oh, see, there it is. I'm not diligent enough. If I were more diligent in my praying, then God would have to do it. I must not be getting at the door what I want God to give me because I'm not diligent. That's a condition. It says that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Well, let's think about that for a moment. You understand, don't you, that there's different ways of demonstrating diligence. One way to demonstrate diligence, right? My mom would tell me when I was cleaning as a kid, you've got to exercise more elbow grease. More elbow grease is necessary here. And so you intensify the effort. You increase the pressure. And by being more diligent about it, you get better results. Some of us think that way about prayer. If I intensify the effort and I work at it a little bit harder and I push a little bit more in my praying, then I'll be diligent. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The word seek here does have an intensified form. It means to seek out by search. So maybe that's what I'm supposed to do. But I want you to consider there's another way to be diligent about something. You know, I'm diligent when I do the same thing and I do it the next day and the next day and the day after that and the day after that. Now, I might not be intensifying my resources or energy for a short period of time. Instead, I'm elongating my energies over a longer period of time by repetition. And if we get that idea of diligence, we're really going back to Matthew chapter 7, what Jesus said, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you, because the verbs are in the present in the original, which is keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. So the diligence then is not how hard I pray, but how repetitive I am. Remember the guy at the door? He just kept knocking until the guy got out of bed. And some of us need to be that way in our prayers, right? So just keep asking, keep persisting, keep seeking, keep knocking until God gives us the thing that we need. Here's another condition that we often put on this grandiose promise or invitation that Jesus makes in Matthew chapter 7. If Bill were here, he would remind me. I'm not picking on Bill today, but he would remind me. You know Bill, all right? He's always got the angle figured out that I haven't thought of, all right? So here he goes. He would also say, you have to ask within his will. You remember this, don't you? You've been to Sunday school, haven't you? First John chapter 5. Let's look at this. Verses 14 and 15. This is the confidence that we have in him. If I ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we ask of him. So the condition then here is according to his will. To receive the reward, we must pray within God's will. And if we ask amiss, as James says, or we ask to consume it on our lust, James chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, then I forfeit the right to the promise because I didn't ask within his will. Oh, and then we get weighed down. I don't know if this is his will. Maybe I prayed the wrong thing. Maybe that's why I'm not getting it, because I didn't pray into God's will. And some people get really worked up about this. Can I really ask God for anything? Does my father really care? Well, maybe I didn't ask it according to his will. And we get a little frustrated in our prayer life because of this. Does my father really care about me? Well, there have been times, getting back to the father-kid thing, when my kids have asked me for things I didn't think they were quite ready for. When they were 5 and 6, they started asking for these things. Can you see that in the picture? Pocket knives. Now I'm thinking, 5 or 6-year-old pocket knife, not a good combination. But I don't ever remember rebuking my kids for that. They it was an honest desire or want. I just said, well, you know, maybe when you get a little bit older. And I think about 9 or 10, most of them had pocket knives. We just waited a few more years. We redirected their thinking and helped them to want a different thing at 5 and 6 than pocket knives. Now, this is a very homey illustration, but you know, sometimes we pray for things and we think they'd really be good for us. You know, it would really be good for me. I'm single. It would be really good for you to pair me up with somebody right now and take away my loneliness. And we just think that would be a really good thing for us. And God has a way sometimes of just, you know what? I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's just maybe not the right time. So what's he going to do? He's going, as you're praying and asking for what you want, what did I do as a father? I redirected them and helped my kids want something else until they were ready for it. I think God does the same thing with us. You ask for what you want. He isn't saying don't ask for whatever you want because it isn't according to his will. Some of us are like, I don't know. Is it according to his will? Is it right for me to ask for that? Just ask. And you know what your father has the wisdom to do? He has the wisdom to redirect you. And if he can't give you the thing that he's asking, you know what he's going to give you? Most always he's going to give you something better than what you're asking for anyway. That's the way the father works. That's the way I work with my kids. Hey, listen, if I can't give them a pocket knife, I'm going to find something I can give them. I didn't go, you know what? You wanted a pocket knife for Christmas? No pocket knives going to a 5-year-old or 6-year-old? That's no Christmas for you. Just scratch your list off. I didn't do that. And neither does your Heavenly Father. Hey, if you're evil, hey, and I'm evil too, all right? And you can give good gifts to your kids. Don't you think your father's got this figured out too? Don't all get all hung up. We get hung up. Well, did I ask with diligence? I don't know. Did I ask with faith? Well, I don't know if I had enough faith. Well, did I ask according to his will? I don't know. My kids never ask me if it's my will for them to have a pocket knife or anything else. They just ask. And they let the Father figure out which gifts to reward. I'm saying we need to kind of throw off the shackles of our praying, and we need to get busy asking. Hey, and I have a little bit to thank for this from a book that the men have been reading this fall called The Praying Life, which is very much tracking your prayer life along next to the Heavenly Father's. And understanding that you have a father who just wants you to be a child and just ask. Stop trying to get so complicated in your, did I ask it in will? Did I do it the right way? Was it the right time? Just ask. That's what kids do. That's the way God wants you to treat. He's your Father, our Father which art in heaven. Hey, this is what I'd like. Is it okay with you? Because this is really what I want. And I keep coming back every single day. You know, God has a way of changing our desires if we're not asking for the right things. I have a couple examples. I'll give you one from my personal life. Before I came here, I was candidating at a church of over 100 people. And pretty much, I was pretty much told I was a shoe-in for the job. The senior pastor, who was prior to me, was transitioning out of that ministry. He invited me. And so I went there, preached a few weekends, met with the leadership team. They liked me. Pastor liked the previous pastor liked me. He'd been there for 19 years. Certainly that has some clout, right? So I'm praying and I'm thinking, wow, all right, the Lord must be moving me. Some things were going on in my life at that time. I thought, man, this is where I'm going to end up. So I'm praying and by faith. And I remember sitting down with my wife at that time, and we were sitting on the sofa in our living room. And that night, the church was going to be voting on us. And so, Lord, I reminded the Lord of Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs says, you know, the lot is cast into the lap, but it's every decision is of the Lord. Last verse of Proverbs 16. So I'm thinking, Lord, it's in your hands. Help the vote to go the way you want. So I expected later that night after the service, about 8 or 9 o'clock, I went to our church service, waited for that other church to vote, waited for the call from the pastor. The pastor came, called me, and explained that, you know, the church did vote. 2 votes shy of me going to this other church. He said, but don't worry about it. I already talked to the leadership team. I think we're going to re-vote next Sunday. There was some confusion, and I'm sure everything will be okay. You know what? He called me back about 5 days later before that Sunday and said, the leadership reevaluated. We won't be having another vote. We're moving on to the next candidate. Lord, remember, Mike? We were praying for your will to be done. The preacher thought this was a good idea. The leadership team thought it was a good idea. We thought it was a good idea. We were asking you to lead in that boat, but it didn't come out the way we expected. What was the Lord doing? He heard the prayers of his kids. He was just redirecting. So the Lord brought us to this place instead. So you're the beneficiaries. You're the answer to prayer. So see, you were the Father's plan for us the whole time. I just didn't know about it. I was still asking for pocket knives, and God had something else. He had something else in mind. You see what I'm saying? We get hung up on all of these, did I do it the right way? And the point is, we just need to start asking. These limitations are hindering our ability to enjoy the Father's reward. And God is a good Father, and He wants to give you the kingdom. That's not in your outline, and I forget, it's in Luke somewhere. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Luke 12, verse 3, maybe, if I remember my study this week, something like that. All right, God wants to give you much more than you can imagine. Just ask. So we have all these conditions. Ask with faith. Ask with diligence. Oh, we're not ready for that yet. We're ready for ask in His Son's name. We've talked about this recently. John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, Jesus said, and whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Just ask in my name. Oh, that's right. I got to remember to say, in Jesus' name, amen. And if I do it, if I put that little abracadabra on the end of the prayer, boosh, I get what I want. And you know what? Some of us look at that expression that way. We think, that's my abracadabra. That's the little magic formula I've been taught since Sunday school. Got to say, in Jesus' name, amen. What if you don't say, in Jesus' name, amen? Oh, see, Father, that's a loophole. You didn't say it. Disqualified. Father won't hear you. You missed it. You know, it's interesting. Never in the Gospels, I looked it up this week, never in the Gospels will you have the Father, first person of the Trinity, say to you, pray in my Son's name. Instead, the second person of the Trinity tells you, use my name. Now, I don't want to get too dicey here with God, right? I mean, God is God, Jesus is God, Trinity, the whole thing, I get that. But it is interesting, God isn't telling you you have to pray in Jesus' name. Jesus is saying, use my name. Not as a magic formula, but as we've seen before in the series, right? This is your clout. You think your prayer request is too puny, that your Father wouldn't care to listen, that it isn't, you know, isn't valuable to Him? Hey, just remember, use my name, and I'll make sure it happens. That's the way we're supposed to see Jesus' name. Not as a formula, not as a magic thing I have to do, but rather as the privileged authority of His own Son. When I approach my Father, then God will answer my prayer. So why did I go through all of those? Those are all hang-ups we get to believing that God is a rewarder. God won't reward me unless I do all these steps just right. That's a problem. Maybe you can see my point then. All these conditions tend in one direction. They tend to cause us to limit our asking or to wait on our asking until we get all of our ducks in a row. But you need to think differently. God is a Father and He's waiting to reward you. So just treat Him like a Father and ask away. Ask away. Some of you just need to go out today and just say, I'm going to ask for God to give me what I want, and I'm going to keep asking away until the door opens. Knock and it shall be opened. Knock and it shall be opened. So rather than getting hung up on how you ask, just ask. Believe your Father, who doesn't mind knocking, you knocking on His door in the middle of the night and giving you what you need. Believe the rewarder wants to reward you. No strings attached. That's what we need to get. He is a Father to us. He gives it because you're His kids, not because you do it the right way. I'm going to have Christmas this Christmas with my kids, and it's going to be a good day, but it isn't because they deserve it. They're just my kids, and that's what I do for my kids. I do good things for my kids because I want to be a good father. So it is with your Father. When I was a student in college, every dollar was important. If I didn't have enough dollars, I mean, sometimes I was just scraping money together just to do my laundry. Some of you remember those days. There was a wonderful widow lady back in Pennsylvania who saw me growing up in the church. And she would save, I don't know where she'd come up with, she'd send me about $10 every month. I'd take that $10 down to the bank and I'd get a roll of quarters. And that would help me to get my laundry done through the end of the month at the laundromat. And she sustained me. Wonderful lady. Visited with her one time. She's with the Lord now. But I mean, dollars were important. One day, my brother and I were walking down the sidewalk in front of the dormitories at our school. And as we're walking, he and I were talking, and he caught notice of something. And as soon as he moved, I saw what it was. It was a dollar bill laying right there beside the sidewalk. He reached down to grab the dollar bill, and when he did, the dollar bill shot up in the air and landed about 3 feet back. Now, this will help you to see. Next slide, please. All right? So on the other end, there was a window several stories up, wide open, and a guy in there with a fishing pole and fishing line. And just as my brother went to reach for it, yanked the thing back. And as he's reeling his dollar back in, you can hear him laughing out the window upstairs. Sucker, gotcha. Maybe you've been the end of a practical joke like that, and you can appreciate that. Sometimes, though, we think God isn't very much different from that. He puts dollars along the pathway, but if you don't say it the right way, at the right time, with the right motive, He's going to yank back the reward and not give what you thought He would. Friends, God is not an insurance company that writes contracts with loopholes. He is your Father who longs to give you more than you can ask or think. Hey, if you call Him your Father, why don't you believe that He is determined to do good to you all of your days? Final point, God has a reputation. We could spend a lot of time here. We're out of time, so I'm going to just keep it short. Some of us have listened to the whole message and said, yeah, I know what you're saying, but He probably does that for you, you know, and some super saints in the past that I read about in books. But, man, that certainly has not been the experience of my life. I mean, God just doesn't do that for me. So you're just kind of like a pie in the sky kind of teaching right now, because I don't live that. But I'm here to say, letter A, that God does not play favorites. He loves all of his kids, every one of them. This is true of my kids. I like all my kids. Matthew chapter 7, verse 8 says, "For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. Him that knocketh, it shall be opened." Romans 2, verse 11, "For there is no respect of persons with God." It does say, doesn't it? It does say, everyone that asketh. It does say that everyone that seeks finds, and him that knocks, it will be open. God doesn't play favorites. Romans 2:11. So no respect of persons with God. And somewhere along the line, I just started, and I've had to be reminded of this lesson from time to time over the years, that God will do for me what he did for anyone else if I have the audacity to ask my Father for it. If I'll just ask. And stop believing that somehow I'm disqualified. Well, you know, I did something in my past, and I'm kind of ashamed of it. And, you know, probably, you know, I'm on the blacklist, and probably the Father doesn't like me. I'm one of those black sheep kind of Christians, you know, and so he probably won't do it for me. But probably for you, Pastor, you pray for me because God won't do it for me. You know, some people think that way. Maybe you think that way. This is not so. There is no respect of persons with God. God loves all of his children equally, intensely, eternally with his love. And so I am welcome to enjoy the blessings of God if I am willing to lay hold on them and earnestly seek the Lord and believe that he's going to reward me. So I believe that if you leaned on your Father, that your Father would do good things for you just as he has for me. So I'm going to share one of them with you. I have a brother-in-law. His name is Aaron. Ever since I've known him, he's been interested in architecture. Did not become an architect. Instead became a CAD drawer or one that does computer-aided design. So he's worked with architects most of his adult life in drawing the pictures after the architect puts together the design. And then he gets checked off and builders follow his plans to build buildings. And so he used to work for Steak and Shake and designing Steak and Shakes. And he used to work for another guy who was building pole barns. And I think he still does some of this moonlighting on the side. A few years ago, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, he had the opportunity to become a building or permit inspector with a local city in Indiana. And so he was very interested. Even though it didn't pay enough, he started out part-time. And he worked part-time for a while. And still he was moonlighting at these other companies doing some CAD drawing on the side to supplement his income, thinking that a government position, a government job would be, you know, secure, benefits and pay, etc. So he did that for a while. But he still wasn't making money, and he just prayed that the job would become full-time. We prayed with him about that, and eventually they hired him on full-time. That's been a couple years now. So he's worked full-time. But you know what? Even at full-time pay at that particular job, he wasn't making enough to support his family of eight. I felt bad. He's working full-time, and he's moonlighting to make ends meet. How rough is that? Some of you know what it's like. You've worked 2 or 3 jobs to get out of debt, etc. And he's having a rough time. Well, we were back to visit this summer, my wife and I. And we were in his living room. We were chatting about some of this. And I just walked away and thought, man, I need to pray. More specifically, that God either raises this guy's salary or gives him another job so he doesn't have to work 2 or 3 jobs on the side just to make ends meet. I mean, he's got a family. He doesn't need to be working around the clock. So I began to pray. I mean, intensely, since the last week of June, July, August, middle, late August, my wife gets a call. I believe it was from my in-laws who happened to be here today. And finds out that Aaron has been invited in, or was invited in, to report to the vice mayor one day after work. He was supposed to go in the very next morning. So he goes in the next morning to see the vice mayor. You know, what would you be thinking if you work a government job and the vice mayor wants to see you? Here comes the pink slip. That's what I'm thinking. So we're praying for this, praying for him about, so the news comes, all right? The vice mayor calls him in and says, it was brought to our attention. Your salary is a matter of public record. Someone called to our attention based on your position that you are not making enough for your position. So effective today, you're going to get a $500 a month raise in a government job. 2 months after I began asking the Lord to pray, I asked the Lord, I kept knocking, God, you give him a job that pays enough or you give him a raise in his current job. I'm thinking the whole time I'm praying this, there's no way he's going to get that, you know, a raise substantial enough in a government job. They're going to give him 40 cents an hour, but what's that going to do? You know, $500 a month. I can't do that. That's what faith does. Faith believes your Father can give you what you can't see happening yourself when you ask Him. He is a rewarder of my wants. And I'm sure Aaron was praying about this too. Well, he had his own celebration in Indiana. I'm dancing around the room. I asked God for this. No one else asked God for this. I was praying, and it came out $500 more a month. All right. So God did it for me. I'm telling you, He'll do it for you. This is the kind of God we have. He is your Father. He's not a contractor. He isn't an insurance company. You ask Him for something, He's going to do it, or something better. This is the kind of God we have. He does good things for His kids. Boy, I could end the message right there, but it's not over yet. All right. Something else. Letter B. God saves the best for last. I'd be lying to you to tell you that the best rewards that God has for His kids are those on earth. I'm glad my brother-in-law got a raise. That isn't the best rewards God has on earth. The best rewards God has on earth, or the best rewards God has, are the ones that still await us in the presence of God. The best reward that God saves as a good father, He saves the best for last. How do I know this? Well, I gotta hurry up and wrap this thing up, right? Enoch. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is and a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We've already looked at that a couple times. The previous verse talks about Enoch. And in fact, verse 6 that I just quoted is a commentary on his life. What about Enoch do we know? He walked with God, Genesis 5:24, and he was not, for God took him. That's not a very impressive resume, all right? He walked with God, he was not, God took him. I mean, I hope they can write a little bit more about my life when it's over, all right? He walked with God, he was not, God took him, all right? That's going to happen to all of us at one time who know the Lord. God's going to take us. But the significant thing about it is he walked with God, he loved God, but the benefit of doing that really was when he was not and God took him. That was the ultimate reward for him. That's why the writer of Hebrews comes back and says, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Enoch diligently sought the Lord. He walked with God. And at the end, God took him. The ultimate reward of following this Father is that you get to go home and be in His house forevermore. And not just be in His house. It isn't all about heaven. It isn't pearly gates. And it isn't gemstone foundations, though that's all true. That's in the Bible. The biggest reward of heaven is I get to be in the presence of God with my Father forever. And I'll be able to give Him the hug that I've been wanting to give Him for a very long time. This is the reward. God saves the best for last. The Psalm 31 verse 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. God does save the best for last. Next slide, we'll get the verse. Psalm 31 verse 19. So, friend, call him Father, because he has determined good for you all of your days. Sometimes we say about people, say about kids sometimes, you know, those kids, they're up to no good. And we know what we mean by that, right? They're trouble waiting to happen. I don't know what it is, but some of us think that way about God. He's up to no good in my life. Maybe it's because of the George Burns movies. George Burns. You know, Oh God, You Devil. Title of one of them. We think God is up to no good. Fred, you are wrong. George Burns is wrong. Hollywood is wrong. The Bible is true. And the Bible says that God is good. And He's your Father. And He wants to do you good all the days of your life. And when the days are up, Enoch says, be with God. This is a great Father to follow. So friend, believe Him. Trust Him. Trust this Father, take care of you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you today for